Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Yes, welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities. Your host will be John L. Brown, author that is, and Mrs. J. Ms. J, she's a really, really, really good host, so you guys just get ready for a good afternoon today. We have a very good special day, Ms. Yvonne Stone, a special guest, Ms. Yvonne Stone. And but before we go any farther, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. J.
Yes, first of all, we'd like to thank everyone for joining us this afternoon. And again, we'd like to shout out Century 21 for their sponsorship this month. Thank you very much. And today is going to be a great show. It's a subject that we don't talk about a lot, which I found very fascinating because I do my own research, as you guys know, on things. So I found it very interesting about the things that this particular organization is doing, and her husband are partners in this journey, which is really awesome. So before we get started, I'm going to just ask Ms. LaVon to tell you a little bit about how she got started with what she is doing with her foundation, her and her husband got started. And then from there, we're going to ask her some questions because I think this is a really great subject for our community. Ms. LaVon, please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your husband and how you guys got started taking on this big challenge.
Okay. Well, I'm the executive director and co-founder of the Fort Ord Environmental Justice Network with my husband, Pastor Donald L. Stone, Jr. And we've been doing this now since they closed the base, this military base. They closed it in 1994, and I was employed there. And what we found out was that this process was going to eliminate jobs, housing, and families being together for hundreds of people. So I started attending the meetings, and we were living in military housing, and we found out that they were going to put us out of the housing also, and we almost ended up homeless because the military said they did not have the money to keep the utilities on. And these were like family members of the military people. So it turned out that they did close the base and hundreds of people lost jobs. They lost housing. Families were split apart, children. And it was a very disastrous process that happened. And so they said that because it had never happened before, it was new, and there was nothing we could do but to go along with what was happening. And so we formed the Fort Ord Environmental Justice Network to be a watchdog group between all of the agencies that were coming into our community and developers and the local community. The local African-American community has been greatly gentrified here because of what has been happening. They started a university on the base, and the base is the United States Environmental Protection Agency says this is the second most contaminated site in the country. Wow. And in Anchorage, it's as big as the city of San Francisco. That's how big the base is. And we also have people living on the base and housing. We have low-income people. We have students, high school, grade school, and military families. And
wow.
The most important thing about it is we have a 150-acre landfill. And in that landfill was buried all kinds of waste, even hospital waste and you name it. And they put a cover over the landfill, and there is no bottom lining. And so all of the stuff and the chemicals in the landfill is running off in the groundwater, and now it has been migrating toward the city of Marina. And we have thousands of tons of lead-laced soil because of the munitions that the military used, the guns and the bullets and all that kind of stuff. And they painted the buildings with lead-based paint. And so the soil is highly contaminated. And then to get rid of the munitions on the base, they burn. They use chemicals to mix together and spread them on the ground. And then they light these chemicals. They said it's so that the fire can burn faster. Then we know how dangerous fire retardant is, and they drop tons of that. They said that'll keep the fire from jumping the perimeter. The fire has jumped the perimeter just about every time. And the pictures that we have on our website and on our Facebook page of the fires is awesome. We have a lot of people that's been getting sick from toxic smoke. We talked to the U.S. EPA. We talked to the Department of Toxic Substance Control. We talked to everybody about what this toxic smoke has been doing to people. And it has almost fallen on deaf ears. So, it's been a real challenge, and we have not been treated very well at all because we are concerned about the welfare of the people in our community. So I lost my job as a result of being involved in the cleanup and reuse process. And my husband, of course, is a Fort Ord veteran, and he has not been treated well either. So we just thank God. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't even have a place to stay or anything else. But we have been fighting all this time and going to all of our local officials. I'm also a commissioner in Monterey County to help people that are low income, this commission, and it does not pay, of course. We at this time don't have grants. We had a United States Environmental Protection Agency grant that allowed us to hire a technical advisor because we receive all the cleanup documents that are written by engineers. So this man helped us to put it in a format that ordinary people can understand. But they took that away from us. And so now we are just working with very little donations. We work with the homeless. We go to the Board of Supervisors meetings and speak up for the homeless people and have press conferences. And our community, because it's also in an area that they call tourists, and part of our community, like Carmel and all those places, are where well-to-do people live. And
absolutely.
So, yes, and so we feel that that is why that our needs have not been addressed, but we are hoping that they will be addressed because they're building all kind of developments here and they're bringing in people for the good jobs. We don't have the livable wage jobs in our community.
Right.
It's a huge challenge.
What's happening across the country? That is really happening because there. One of the videos that I showed that is a place called West Chicago, Indiana, and they did the same thing. They built and both kids are. You got people that can't have babies. They're having hysterectomies at 23. Young boys with cancer. And you know, and that's in, you know, and so it's not just California. It's an irresponsibility across the country.
Yes,
and you don't know if it's your neighborhood or not. Some people think, oh, Miss Bessie, that she's sick, or Miss Louise is sick. You know, you would think people are getting sick just because they're getting sick. And a lot of times it's the what they're living on and where they're living has a lot to do with their health. And that's why I thought this show was so important, because people don't know what their houses are built on. They just purchase these houses. They move into these neighborhoods. They have no idea, you know, like I think I believe when we had a property in back in the day when I was working real estate, they built on a graveyard.
Yeah.
And people kept smelling stuff, and they kept saying, oh, nothing's wrong. And finally, a sinkhole happened, and they found all these bodies. They're not even being responsible for the people they're selling to, and there has to be somebody that takes responsibility for that.
Yes.
Well,
and
you know what get me? What get me is that a lot of this stuff, you know, what you're talking about, is going on in the African American communities.
Yes.
Okay. But now I can remember when I was younger. Okay, we lived it right in the back of a scrap yard. They built they just built those new projects. Okay, it was around a little spot called St. Mary Drive. And right now, you can pass down St. Mary Drive, and there's a sinkhole right there where we used to live at. They had to tear all them houses down.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother died of cancer.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's a lot of people back there died of cancer. But we never talked about nothing like that. You know, everybody just be so happy that they got them a place to live, you know. But I commend you and your husband for fighting, you know, for stuff like that.
Yeah, we have cancer clusters here. We also have an article that came on CNN that is, we've been saying this for years about the contaminated drinking water. Now they're saying that millions of families across the United States are being polluted and affected by contaminated drinking water that causes cancer and all kinds of other illnesses.
Yep.
Right. I don't want to cut you all off, but could you please speak in your mic, okay, because I can't hardly, you know, it's kind of like static on my end.
Oh.
Okay.
For me?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. What you said is really true about the cancer clusters and things like that, and the water. That's why when not that it was not a big deal, but when we had the water crisis not too long ago, and one of the cities, and everybody was, you know, saying, "Oh, this is horrible," but it's actually so many people drinking bad water.
Yes, right now.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
That's right. You know, and there's a lot of organization, you know, out there in the communities trying to make a difference. But I must say that you're the first one that I've met that has taken a stand for unhealthy, you know, living.
Yes.
You know, in the communities. And I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that. And I wanted to let the audience know that if you want to ask a question or you want to elaborate on something, please press 1, because we do have a board filled.
And Ms. LaVon, I'd like to ask a question. Say if you're in a neighborhood, are there any signs that you can look for, or is it anything that will let you know something's just not right? Because a lot of times these days, like old school days, everybody knew their neighbors. You know, they were all friends, blah, blah, blah. Now people are more sticking to their own home. You know, they're not as social. So you don't know if Miss Jones got cancer across the street or Miss Diane down the street or anything like that. So is it anything that you can kind of like look for, or is it some signs out there? I mean, is it something like that, you know, for us to pay attention to?
Well, in our housing areas on Fort Ord, they finally put up a sign from the state called Proposition 65 that living here can cause stillbirths and cancer and other diseases. And then when we asked them about it, they said, oh, that's a sign that we put up everywhere. You usually find them on the doors of liquor stores, you know, about alcohol would cause that. But they had it in our housing areas, and they said that that was just a formality and it wasn't really something that people should pay a whole lot of attention to. But we beg to differ that we needed to pay attention to it because so many people have been sick and affected by these pollutants and these toxins. And what we feel is that the agencies, like the United States Environmental Protection Agency, they go into certain communities, and it's usually communities that have the resources to do the research and all this kind of stuff, and they would not have to do a lot of work. But for the most of the African-American community, they have let these things go on for years, knowing that it causes these illnesses and diseases. And so right now, because we're in a tourist area, they won't put up the signs to let people know what's wrong. We just had a big old burn up in Big Sur. It's been burning for 2.5 months. They were showing how the firefighters were being affected by the poison oak that was burning, because that grows wild, and it's red poison oak, and showing how their eyes were swollen, their arms and stuff. And then they turned around and said they were affected by it because they got it on their coattails and on their boots. And everybody know that this stuff, if it burns in the air, it's in the smoke, and it's traveling with the wind, and people are going to be breathing this stuff, and it causes blisters in the lungs and all that kind of stuff, and they won't even let them know what is harming them. And so these kinds of things have to stop. We have to bring these people, make them accountable for information that the people, the public needs to have. You can't protect yourself against something you don't know anything about.
That is so
okay.
True.
Yeah. And, okay, let's say you're living in a community. Okay, and like you say, the African-American community, they don't, you know, make us aware of these type of things in African communities. Now, let's say if someone wanted to find out, you know, if there's any health issues in their community, where would they go?
That's a good question, because the health department is not helping the community. We even, some people said they call FEMA. Some call the Center for Disease Control. The Agency of Toxic Substance Disease Registry is in Atlanta, Georgia, and that should be a place, especially when it comes to federal facilities and health care. But the other thing is the United States Environmental Protection Agency. You should be able to get information from them. They have an Environmental Justice Department, and it's hard to get through to them, of course, but they have something on the website that you can write comments and send those in. But it's going to take communities as a whole to get together and hold these people accountable and let them know. The state has a lot to do with it, too. The state has at least our state has a California Environmental Protection Agency. They also have a Department of Toxic Substances Control. They also deal with pesticides and all that. But if it's not enough people who's getting together and actually traveling there or doing that kind of thing, the news media is very lax with the information they put out, too. They put out information that they're told to put out. But they won't necessarily put out the right information so that people can know what's happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. So if you're sick and you're going to the doctor and you just cannot figure out what's wrong with you,
yeah,
I would suggest you have them test you for some poisoning, because if they're not going to speak up, but you do have to protect yourself, because you don't know, you know, you're not land specialist or anything like that, a soil specialist, so you won't know, you know, they have said things like trees, they have, like, some trees look like they got cancer sores on them.
Yeah. But,
yeah,
you know, the average doctor won't do it. They got this occupational safety clinic or something. We don't have one down here. They got one up in San Francisco, and they don't have them everywhere. That person would have to travel all the way up to that clinic and say, I think I've been exposed to chemicals. That's what we're
doing. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So let's say if you got a chemical plant living in your area, refinery,
yeah,
and they steady pouring out different fumes and chemicals in the air, and then then you start getting sick. So you can, they do have a place to where as though you can go and get tested to see if you was affected by the chemicals that release in the air.
I don't even think so, because Richmond is not too far from us, and they had the Exxon plant that blew up, whatever it did, and put the smoke and all the Sutton stuff in the air, and a lot of people were, you know, sick and all that, but I didn't hear anything about anybody paying their medical bills or anything. And what they usually do, they usually find somebody in the community that can help the people who has caused the problem, the pollution in the first place, and they usually will pay them or give them a job or something, and they kind of keep a lid on what's happening to the rest of the community, especially in the black community. Yeah. In Washington, for instance, in L.A., This man sent me a whole box of information about how they had built housing on these contaminated sites and schools, and people were sick and with cancer and stuff, and they needed the water testing.
Somebody is squeaking.
I don't hear anything.
I don't know who that is.
Okay,
yeah, I don't hear anything either. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. They sent you stuff and you were testing.
And so I called the people in Flint, Michigan, who had tested the water for Flint, Michigan, and I found them, and I told them what was happening. And they said, well, maybe we can send some test kits to that community. And they were trying to get a hold of this one man that was supposed to be in charge of getting help for those communities. They couldn't even get a hold of it. And so the other man who sent me the information by mail, you know, he kept saying, but just tell them that just to send somebody here, and so they could test it themselves. They don't have to go through him. And the person they were trying to go through, he was African American. So it's just these kinds of things need to stop, because they are harming people.
Okay,
without your help, you can't do anything.
Absolutely.
Okay, we have a caller. We have a caller on the line, and they may want to elaborate on something or ask you, and I'm going to let them in.
All right.
Caller, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Tommy Cole, Lake Charles, Louisiana. Hello, Tommy Cole.
Okay.
Yeah,
Lake Charles,
you
Louisiana.
You want to ask a question?
Hey, I just want to commend the young lady for her efforts and to getting this information out, because a lot of areas what we're living in, you know, they are contaminated, and we often don't know it. And man, and I heard her say that lots of times they'll bring folk in to justify their causes. And I recall just here in this city where I live, you know, they called the environmentalists to come out to prove that there was no contamination and no chemicals that was released in these areas. So they always have a cover-up, you know. And,
yeah.
But to make a difference, you know, the whole community has to stand up and have to work together to get these folks to see how they actually poisoning us here in our own country.
Yes. That's right.
That's right.
So, yeah, so honestly, hey, I commend you for the work that you're doing. I would love to see those communities work with you and take a stand, and that because many of us, we need to be compensated because of our health issues. And that's
yes.
where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So
That's right.
I would really like to work with other communities also and see how we can get more help for our communities, other organizations.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing that we suggest on Uplifting Communities talk show, where we do have a page, Uplifting Community page, is many. We didn't have lots of guests, lots of organizations that came on the show. You can always reach out. We got information to where as though you can get in contact with them. You can always reach out to them. And these are people throughout the United States. And y'all network together and start, you know, letting people know what's going on. Because this is very important. This subject right here is very important. It really is. There's too many of our people getting sick. Like Ms. Jay said earlier, a lot of women can't have kids now. I mean, you remember the times when people was having like 10 and 12 kids, in the African-American communities. Now what you see, you only see like one or two or three.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and I really do believe that not all of it, but part of it is because of the health issues in a community.
I think so, too.
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yes, and also Planned Parenthood. The young black women are afraid to have more kids because the fathers are not being responsible, and then the welfare office don't want to help to take care of them, and then they can't get child care so that they can work. So what is the solution, you know? So they go to Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, anyway, we only have 2 minutes left on the show, okay? And I'm going to ask Ms. Jay to close us out.
Okay.
Well, first of all, Ms. LaVon, thank you very much for coming on, because your fight is a great fight. And we're going to post your information so that everybody, you know, if they want to get in contact with you, they'll have a way to get in contact with you. But we'd like to thank everybody for joining us this afternoon and listening. You know, we only can make a difference if we work together. So let's work together and try to solve some of these issues. And thank you guys again for joining us this Sunday afternoon.
Can I spell my name for you? Because it's not spelled right. It's L-E.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we took it off the – well, anyway, we'll deal with that later. I'll make sure that it's taken care of. John, you got anything positive you'd like to say on the way out?
Yes, I would like to. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Ike Breeze, okay, and Andrew Flinch, because these two people right here, they really, they supported the talk show with donations. I appreciate you guys' donations. Also, I want to let everybody know that next week we will not be on air next week because myself, I will be at an event in Las Vegas, and also Miss Jay, she's going to be doing an event in Florida. Also, I want to give a shout out to Wanda Ramirez. She has been a supporter of the Uplifting Community Talk Show. And thank you all very, very much. And thank you for coming on the show, Ms. Yvonne Stone. And God bless you and your husband. And with that said, y'all have the rest of the day and have a good time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.